My next guest is on the line. He's Joel Pollack. He is opinion editor of the California Post. We're going to be discussing an article appearing in the Times of Israel. I just want to read the headline. It is this: record turnout for Toronto pro-Israel march as violent anti-Semitism spikes across Canada. 60,000 people from diverse communities join annual walk with Israel's Jewish groups fault government for weak response to the highest levels of Jew hatred since World War II. Joel Pollack, as always, thank you so very much for your time here on Chai FM.
Nice to be with you.
So, Joel, I got to tell you, when I first saw this picture of the march, I actually thought it was AI. I couldn't believe there was a march of this magnitude in Toronto. The biggest pro-Israel gathering Canada apparently has ever seen. From your perspective, what does that tell us about the temperature of the Jewish community inside Canada right now?
Well, if you talk to a lot of Canadians, they are making careful decisions about their future. That is to say, Canadian Jews, because the level of anti-Semitism and the constant anti-Israel protests have really created a hostile environment. And I know Canadians in the United States, from Toronto, from Montreal, Canadian Jewish families who said they have left and they're never going back. And that's because Canada has shifted in a profoundly anti-Israel direction, which brings with it some of the anti-Semitism and some of the safety issues that you mentioned. You know, it's almost impossible to imagine a decade ago, Stephen Harper was the Prime Minister of Canada.
Yeah.
He was probably the most pro-Israel leader in the West, much more pro-Israel than the American president at the time, Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And it has shifted in the opposite direction, partly because the left in general has decided that Israel is evil, but also because Canada's immigration policy has admitted a large population from the Arab and Muslim world. And wonderful people, though they may be in every other way, they do bring with them anti-Israel prejudices and often anti-Semitic stereotypes and a certain radical element that is starting to make itself felt not just in Canada, but in the United States as well.
So where's the pushback to that? I just know that Canada has kind of presented itself over years as tolerant, polite, multicultural. Do they not feel to some extent that their Canada is being taken away from them?
Many, many people feel that way. And in fact, Canada might have switched governments. There may have been a conservative government had it not been for the tariff fight with the United States, which Canadian voters back into the Liberal camp. But Canadians generally feel a sense of despair at what's happening to their country. But not everybody. Obviously, you have Canadians who keep voting for Liberal governments and Canadians who think that this is the right way, this is the way things should be, that you can get rid of Israel as an ally and you can do all right. What they're not seeing, because it happens slowly until suddenly it happens all at once, is the brain drain and the loss of the institutional Jewish community, which is happening. I mean, it's great that a lot of people came out for the pro-Israel rally. There was also a very large pro-Israel rally in New York City at around the same time. But Mayor Zoran Mamdani, the first Muslim mayor of New York City, also was the first mayor not to attend the Israel Day rally, which previous mayors had all attended. And yet he goes to the Pakistan Day rally and so forth. Jews in the big metropoles in the West are starting to feel the pressure of Muslim immigration, which is turning local populations against the Jewish community. It has pushed the Israel agenda or the Israel issue to the top of the left-wing agenda. And you're going to see it again this fall in the United States, because there is a large number of Muslim candidates who are running for Congress, for Senate, for House. Some of them will win. Some of them are completely cracked. And they're going to win because they're running in non-competitive districts. Once they have their party's nomination, essentially they win. So you're going to see that more and more. And it does create a crisis that is not just happening in Canada, but will increasingly be felt in the United States as well.
That's absolutely terrifying to hear what you are saying. Obviously, we'll be following that very, very closely. I just want to go back to what you were saying about people actually deciding to vote with their feet and leave Canada. I think it was the last week or so, we saw Professor Gad Saad talk about moving to the United States to take up a position there. There was a very famous professor of medicine, a surgeon at a particular hospital. I mean, you're not losing packers. You are losing people with enormous brain power who are saying, I don't need to put up with this anymore. Is this more than just one or two people? Is it bigger than this? Is it a trend?
It is happening everywhere. I mean, it's happening in the United States as well. There are people who are saying that they are abandoning, if not the country, they're at least abandoning the institutions where Jews used to have a significant presence. I mean, after October 7th, when the Ivy League institutions like Harvard and University of Pennsylvania went in an anti-Israel direction, and in fact overlooked the anti-Semitism on campus, many Jewish students, faculty, and especially Jewish donors to these universities pulled out. There was a very large foundation, the Wexner Foundation, that used to give hundreds of millions of dollars every year to Harvard to train future Israeli professionals. And because of the response at Harvard, which has become very woke, the Israeli students said they really just couldn't study there anymore, and the Wexner Foundation pulled out. And other foundations, other donors have pulled out of University of Pennsylvania. They're looking for other places to invest. So they haven't given up on the United States entirely. And the American population remains broadly pro-Israel. The younger generation less so, and the Democratic Party has become essentially hostile to Israel. It used to be the place where pro-Israel activists would go. If you were a Jew or a pro-Israel voter, you were more likely to vote Democratic than Republican. 100%. But that has completely been turned on its head. And now the cities and the Democratic Party have become hostile to Israel, very difficult for Jews. And, you know, all of us here, I mean, I can just speak for myself. Mm-hmm. All of us look around and wonder, where really can we live? I mean, it's you know, people are quite comfortable in different places. And I love Los Angeles. I go back and forth between Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. all the time. Yeah. And we have lovely communities there in both places. But you look at the increasing physical danger. I mean, just before I started coming to D.C. more often, there was the murder of the two Israeli embassy staffers by a gunman shouting Free Palestine.
I remember.
And in Los Angeles, there have been attacks on synagogues in Jewish areas. This is just not normal. I mean, this is not an ordinary thing. But what has happened is there's been a generation of immigration from the Muslim world, and it has energized the far left, which already existed, but particularly the sort of elite socialists, people who kind of make a career out of activism, it has given them a cause. October 7th did not shock them or shame them. It energized them to believe that if they just pushed hard enough, they could destroy Israel. They were gratified by the violence. They came out into the street to support the violence before Israel had responded. One of those people, by the way, is now running for Congress in New York and has the endorsement of Mayor Mamdani, one of the protesters who was pro-October 7th. All of the Democrats, including a candidate for mayor in Los Angeles, one of the two major candidates, now go on this podcast by this Turkish immigrant named Hasan Piker, who is not just anti-Israel, but pro-Hamas, and quite proudly so. Yeah. That is what is starting to happen here. To some extent, it's also just an outcome of partisan politics. Trump has been so pro-Israel that Democrats decide anything Trump does is bad, and so they have to oppose him on that too. But there is something bad happening. It's worse in Canada because of the deeply entrenched power of the Liberal Party, which is almost never ousted except for that interregnum when you had the Conservatives governing for a decade. But the United States tends to be more balanced, also has a much larger evangelical Christian community, which is deeply supportive of Israel. Mm. But look, it's a crisis in the West. It may pass, okay, in the sense that once the war in the Middle East subsides and once Israel is out of the headlines, or once Israel is completely victorious. I mean, that could happen as well. The Iranian regime could collapse, and this would be seen as just a complete success. the war and the last several years of fighting, you know, which could happen. I actually think that's the likeliest outcome, that eventually we're going to see the Iranian regime fall apart, and then there really is no home for or source of funding for the radicalism in the Middle East, and that the trend will become toward peace and coexistence and so forth. But until that happens, you're going to see this continue, and I do think it is something that people need to watch very closely, because the example of Israel, the shining example of Israel, which inspired Nelson Mandela, by the way, in some of his activities against apartheid, as a case of an oppressed people organizing and fighting for their freedom, that is now gone from people's imaginations. They don't know about that. All they know is that Israel is a kind of symbolic center of everything they hate about the West, about capitalism, about territorialism, tradition, conservatism, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's just become this obsession on the left. And that is having an effect in Toronto. It's having an effect in New York City, to a lesser extent in other places. But, you know, it is deeply concerning. And for Canadian Jews, while it's obviously gratifying to have a march that's that big, the questions remain. Do we stay in Canada or do we leave? And many are choosing to leave.
Yeah. Joel Pollack, opinion editor for the California Post. We're going to leave it there this afternoon. Once again, thank you so very much for your time here on Chai FM. Such an interesting perspective you have. We'll be checking in again, I have no doubt.